When amazing is your standard, you craft experiences that feel personal.
Hey, Lexus, turn on the seat warmers. Okay, Lexus, turn up the volume. Hey, Lexus, set the ambient lighting to blue.
Of course, what's more personal than an invitation? It's the invitation to Lexus sales event, because the greatest measure of an automobile is how it makes you feel. Get offers on select vehicles. Ends March 31st. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Service subject to change. Requires a cellular network connection and other factors. Data charges may apply.
This is Aces on the Air.
They got the bucket. Oh. Turnbull came from the weak side and recycled the shot. A game-saving play by Turnbull.
The official podcast for Evansville Athletics.
Ground ball to the right side. McGinnis Fields. He throws the first. They've done it! For the first time in program history, Evansville has won a regional. The Purple Aces are off to the Sweet 16.
Aces on the Air is brought to you by Taroni's Pizzeria and Brewery. Claim a $3 off voucher at any 2025-2026 UE Athletic event on campus.
The turn on to first. Two! A double play! And it's ball game! Evansville fans have won in 18 long years! For the first time since 2006, the Aces are Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Champions!
Every episode of Aces on the Air is available on Spotify, Apple, and online at GoPurpleAces.com.
Elevates on a three. It's an air ball. Wow. And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
Now, here's the voice of the Aces, Jevin Redmond.
From the Purple Aces Sports Network, this is Aces on the Air, brought to you by Taroni's and powered by Learfield. I'm Jevin Redman. Episode 51 this week is a mid-season-ish update with Evansville softball. They have about a month left in the regular season and playing good softball of late. They've won 7 of their last 8 Valley games. They are now in 5th place in the conference at 8-6. They're 14-17 overall, and they have a busy week coming up with Bellarmine on Wednesday, and then Northern Iowa's here for a 3-game series Friday and Saturday. Head coach Bailey Dillander is with us as she is in the middle of her first season here at Evansville. We talked to her before the year and got to know her background. Now we're going to talk about how year one is going so far. And Coach, a good time to sit down and talk to you guys. You're playing very well. You've won 7 of 8, as I mentioned, and then you just had a 3-game sweep at Drake, which was the first Valley road sweep for the program since 2019. So I guess a good time to talk about your team.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I was excited. I'm like, ooh, it's fun to talk about us when things are going well. But no, I mean, it's been fast and furious. Last couple of weeks have obviously, you know, been fun, been exciting. I think my favorite part is just watching this group grow. Our confidence is growing. Their belief, you know, in the overall plan and long-term success of what we're trying to do here is growing, and it's fun. I'm exhausted, but it's also, you know, fun watching the light bulbs click on and things coming together and seeing some of our athletes just doing some really cool stuff right now. So
you guys started conference play playing two of the better teams in the top half of the standings with Illinois State, had 3 1-run games. You lost 2 of 3, went to Belmont, got swept. So you're sitting at 1-5 through the first two series, but then things changed when you won 4 in a row against Indiana State and Murray State. Mm-hmm. Mentioned 7 or last 8. So what's kind of been the biggest difference here the last couple of weeks for you guys?
You know, it's putting it the one thing we talked about, especially through the month of February, and whoever made the schedule this year should be smacked across the I'm just kidding. I made the schedule. But, you know, you looked at kind of how things came together in February, unbeknownst to me. And, you know, obviously we were a little bit frantic in getting the schedule together with the timing of me saying yes and getting to Evansville and all the other things on my plate. We had no schedule. So we ended up playing 11 games against mid-major top 25 teams. Did I know that's what I put on the schedule? No. So, you know, we were definitely battle tested early, had some hard knocks. I mean, we got punched in the face several times in February in the non-conference schedule. Here we go. We're ready to start Valley. And it's like, oh, play Belmont, a top 25 RPI team. Play Illinois State, who's off to a really hot start and has a really, really solid squad. And, you know, you looked up after that first series, and I'm learning as much as the kids probably know more than I do at this point. Mm-hmm. From the perspective of teams in the conference. I mean, we can watch them on video. We can do as much prep as possible. But when you don't really know until you see us stack up against other teams. And I just remember thinking specifically that first weekend at home against Illinois State, like, we were in every one of those ball games. We were, you know, in a situation where in the sixth and seventh of the doubleheader on the first day, like, we were one hit away from winning both of those games. And that was a little bit of our struggle. It's something that I think we've gotten, have been doing a better job of over the last 2 weeks, but timely hitting, runners in scoring position, you know. And so here's our biggest focus. And this has been the same from first pitch in February, was it's putting all three phases of the game together. That means we have to pitch it well, we have to hit it, and we have to be timely in our hits and be able to manufacture runs where it matters. But then we also have to be really good defensively. And so if you look at what we've done, especially the last little stretch here over the last 2 weeks, we've been really good in all three phases. It doesn't mean we've been perfect. We're not chasing perfect. We're just chasing, you know, really solid performances in all three of those phases. And so when they come together, good things happen. I mean, we've won 7 of 8. But even before then, that's been our goal, is just to put all three phases of the game together and be really solid in all three of those phases. And so when we do that, we've seen some success coming from it too. So that's been good stuff.
We're going to talk about some of your juniors and seniors here shortly, but you just mentioned that, you know, some of your players know the Valley better than you do. And I'm curious, in your role here, it's a new environment for your first season. Obviously, you've been a part of softball for a long time. But how much have you had to lean on maybe your players for a little bit of knowledge versus also incorporating your own philosophy? How's that balance been this year?
It's been fun. You know, I mean, we said one thing we do, irregardless of if I know the conference or I don't know the conference. I mean, obviously in the Mid-South, I was pretty comfortable. I knew all the coaches. I knew how they coach. You know, you knew that stuff. But we've been able to ask, you know, the Taylor Howes and the Jess Wilsies, who will bring in their own scouting report before we give them a scouting report. And we're like, okay, let's look at what we need to know, not all of this extra stuff. But I would say, you know, I mean, you're just trying to be a sponge and learn as quick as you can, and meeting coaches. I mean, almost every series, the first time I've met these coaches is when we get to the plate meeting and say, hey, coach, good luck, you know. So it's not like I know or have any friendships or would even at this point, well, we don't want to be friends, right? But yeah, it's been interesting. But the kids have been able to give us a ton of really important information while we also remind them of the information that's important to our success and us being able to execute game plans, you know, and find ways to win games. So it's been, you know, a fun little experience. I will be excited to get through this first 365, this first year of just feeling like the odd man out or the new guy. That's a little uncomfortable, I would say, overall. But, you know, we believe in what we do. We believe in our process. We believe in our game plans, you know. And so it's really been more about showing our kids our game plans, having them buy into executing them, you know. And when we do, we're successful. And so I think that's the key that we have to keep remembering as we move forward and just continue to grind through what the Valley schedule is right now.
You mentioned you're not chasing perfect, but in all three areas of the game, pitching, hitting, defense, you want to try to be close to perfect. But how would you say, or what would you say the identity of this team is right now with the month to go?
Well, we swing it pretty well. I mean, my favorite part, so I don't know if you kept up this weekend, but there was several times throughout the weekend, like, yeah, we've had this knack for blowing up an inning and going out and scoring 3, 4, 5. But I feel like the one thing, like, you look at the Murray State series, we go out and put a 5 spot on them. In game 2 of the weekend. And then we lay a bunch of goose eggs coming down the stretch. And so that's one thing we talk about. It's not always about the big inning. Like, let's play for one run an inning. Like, can we just continue to just kind of, you know, push away at it, plug away at it, and find ways to score just single runs? Like, if you just keep adding on, it keeps creating distance. It keeps creating more momentum on your side and less momentum on their side. But when you allow a team for 5 or 6 straight innings to put zeros up on you, their momentum is growing and ours is, we're starting to press and we're starting to feel the pressure of it. And then you saw how it blowed up. It blew up. Sorry. Wow. you saw how it kind of blew up there in the top of the seventh in that Murray State game. Fortunately for us, we were able to come and walk it off and win that. But this weekend, that was my favorite part, is if you looked at the box score of this series, we had a couple of big innings, but how many innings did we get a leadoff walk or a leadoff hit and we sack bunted them over? Then we get them to third on a fly ball, and then a ground ball through gets us a run. I think if we played 20 innings on the weekend, which is what I think we played, I believe in almost 15 of those innings we scored. That's key. It doesn't mean we scored 2 and 3 times. We just found a way to score a run. And I remember looking up a couple of times this weekend, I'm like, that's the easiest run we've scored this year. You know, because in situations like this, when you're trying to grow and you're trying to evolve and become more competitive and become, you know, one of those guys that people circle on the calendar, you have to be able to do it in so many multiple ways. Like, you don't want teams to look at you and say, well, if we keep this kid in the yard, we're going to win. I want us to be balanced from 1 to 9. I want us to be athletic and cover gaps in the outfield and catch fly balls that are in the air more than 3. You know, like, those are our goals. But that's definitely one thing that I feel like over the last couple of weeks you've seen us grow and get better at, because that's where we're closing the door. That's where early in the season we weren't able to do those things, or we weren't executing them at a high enough clip, that those were the innings that were essentially determining our wins and losses. And so that has been the best part for me, is watching that stuff to come together. I mean, you can't talk about our success over the last 2 weeks without saying something about Kate Ridgway and how excellent and outstanding she's been in the circle for us. You know, it's really, her confidence is growing. Her control's gotten better. We're not putting as many free bases or free kids on the bases. You know, so it's a lot of things. I wish I could just circle one, but I think that's when you know that you're getting better and you're growing, is that it's happening in a lot of different areas, not just one specific.
You, in a way, took away my next question. I was going to mention Kate Ridgway. 2 no-hitters this year. Last week she was Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Week, thanks in large part to that second no-hitter against Indiana State. But you look at her numbers, 3.62 ERA, 101 strikeouts, 91 walks. She had an interesting stat line over the weekend in Game 2 where she had 10 walks, 11 strikeouts, 358 pitches. But in the games that I've watched her pitch, it seems like when she hasn't had her control, she's still been able to kind of work around traffic and minimize the damage.
She does, and she moves the ball so well. And I could sit here for 45 minutes and go on my strike zone tangent, because I am not the greatest fan, but ultimately I tell the kids all the time, we have to focus and spend our energy on the things we can control. And unfortunately, in our game, we have no control over that stuff. So while, yes, it's frustrating sometimes, why, yes, I feel like our strike zone has consistently been pinched late in games, we don't have any control over it. So we have to continue, you know, to execute what we talk about doing. We have to continue to spend our energy and focus on the things that we have control over. And so, yeah, Kate's been excellent. And she does. She does a great job at minimizing damage or finding her way and making good enough pitches. Even if she's loaded the bases with 3 walks and we had 2 outs when it all started, she just does a good enough job of executing a great pitch in the biggest moment. And so that's been my favorite part, watching Kate grow this year. It's just her resilience in those moments and her willingness just to keep getting back in the mound and throw the next pitch. We're not worried about the last pitch. We're worried about what the next pitch is going to look like and how we're going to compete through those situations.
And then with Alexis Tucker as well, your second main pitcher in the circle to give Ridgway a break throughout those 3-game series. Tucker, a junior from nearby Gibson Southern High School, 2 earned runs or less in her last 4 appearances in the circle, ERA right around 5 on the season. Have you seen her growth kind of come together here in her junior season?
Yeah, and Lex has gotten the bad end of a couple deals. I mean, she should have been the winner of the Murray State game there. I mean, she gave us 7 great innings in a 5-0 game. And then, you know, we've just got to continue to focus on lengthening the pen there. Lex has been great, and she's doing a much better job, especially over the last 2 or 3 weeks, of just giving us those consistent starts. I mean, this is what we say to our kids. Like, again, we don't need you to be perfect. We don't need you to go out there and shut teams out or throw no-hitters or two-hit minimums or maximums, whatever. We just need you to keep us in the game and give us an opportunity to win and let our bats do what they do and let the defense play behind you. So Lex has been super, continues to get better and more confident. And, you know, that's where we're at. And we're just going to continue to grind through. But it's been fun watching Lex as well. I mean, she was probably more of the bright spot in February. I mean, she has a win over Miami, Ohio, who's a top 15 mid-major team. She had a win over Central Arkansas at Central Arkansas in February as well, and just did a tremendous job of keeping really, really aggressive hitting teams on their front foot and off balance and getting us lazy fly balls and ground balls off the end of the bat. You know, and that's what her and Coach Rich work a lot on, is we're not looking. We don't need you to be Kate. Kate's going to go out and get us 8 to 10 strikeouts. We need Lex to go out and just make good enough pitches to get us outs, because that's why we put such an emphasis on playing really solid defense and executing those things, is because we're not standing here hoping to get 20 strikeouts a game. We just need you to go throw competitive pitches and give us an opportunity late to win games.
You mentioned you guys can swing a little bit, especially top half of your order. Your leader average-wise is Nikki Bodie, junior catcher, sometimes designated player as well, but hitting .397, that's a team high, leads them in doubles with 12, and she has hit safely in 8 of her last 9 games. Her average has risen from .348 to .397 during that stretch, and have to imagine top part of the lineup is pretty fun to write those players in every single game.
And it's so quiet. I mean, those numbers are impressive. And, you know, Nikki is so quiet in everything she does. She does a great job receiving for us behind the plate. She's so even kill in everything. Sometimes I want to smack her upside the head and be like, hey, Nikki, you in there? You know, but she's just so quiet and just so consistent. And so we've made the decision, I guess it's been probably 2 weeks now, where we kind of slid her more up into that three spot. And really the goal has just been, she's just in the zone so long with her swing and mechanics, and just continues to give us those line drives. I mean, her power numbers as far as home runs, she finally got on the board this weekend. We've been giving her some crap for a couple weeks. We're like, Nikki, do you even know how to hit home run? I mean, everybody around, and she's like, coach, I know how to hit home runs. I just haven't, you know, I haven't wanted to yet. And so I'm like, hey, Nikki, you can want to hit one. So she finally gets one to fly for us this weekend at Drake. But yeah, she's been tremendous. And I mean, is our Missouri Valley second team all conference returner from last year, and has really just kind of picked up where it seems that she left off last year, and is clutch, puts good at bats together, sees tons of pitches, has a great understanding of the strike zone and what she's trying to attack. And yeah, she's been pretty automatic for us. And so it takes a little bit of pressure off some of those other guys around her. I mean, Taylor Howe had a phenomenal weekend for us at Drake, and we've kind of been waiting for her to kind of bust out of it and put some of those 3-4 hit games together, and she did. And Brooke's having a phenomenal, you know, I mean, we could go all the way down the line, because here's the other thing is we're emphasizing the top half of our lineup, but I would tell you that our biggest innings, when we really kind of take control of games, has really came from the 7, 8, 9 spots that have just kind of got on, whether it's just a gritty at bat and they take a walk, or Ashton Holbrook comes up and drives the ball into right center field, and then Emma bloops one, you know, like it takes all of us. So yes, we are a little heavier on the top end as far as power numbers and things go, but I think if we really went down and we dug into it, I think our big innings and the deciding moments in winning 7 of 8 have really came from that bottom of the lineup being kind of the spark plug that got us going and put us in situations to have big innings. So
the one other player I want to talk about from the top half of your lineup is Brooke Voss. 7-game hitting streak, 4 home runs over the course of those 7 games, leads the team in that category with 8 on the season. What have you seen here in the last week and a half, 2 weeks in the box from her that have led to those power numbers?
Confidence. You know, I mean, when we made the decision in February, you know, when we started the season, Brooker was sitting in, I think, the 7 spot for us. And then I just felt like we were a little too passive at the top. We were taking too many pitches. We weren't being aggressive enough. And so I remember having that conversation with Brooke when we made the decision. She was hot. She was seeing a lot of good pitches, but we decided to move her into that leadoff spot. And I remember pulling her off to the side before I went to the plate meeting. I said, look, we're moving you here. I don't want you to change anything. Change nothing. We love how aggressive you're being. We love that you're getting off super intentional swings on first pitches of counts. Like, take that. I don't want you to go think, oh, I'm in the leadoff, I have to see pitches. I'm literally putting you there because I feel like you taking hacks early in counts, barreling balls, it trickles down, and then it all of a sudden gives everyone else the freedom and the confidence to go attack pitches early. That's what we're trying to do. Pitchers want to work ahead. We want to hit early, you know, and so Brooke's been phenomenal. I think, you know, the biggest testament for Brooke has just been her buy-in since we got here. It's been her relentless work ethic. Do I think we've made some changes as far as her swing and taking out some of the steepness of it? I do, but it was Brooke. She's done the work. She's put in the time. So to see it kind of coming together for her and her having this kind of season and just really relishing in the role we've given her to play, it couldn't happen to a better kid. There's not a better human, you know, on our campus than I would put Brooke up against anybody as far as just her overall work ethic and willingness. And she's a great teammate. She epitomizes everything that we want our student athletes to be about, especially in the program.
Now, third base, you have a freshman playing there mostly right now, Angela Valentine. She has played in 21 games. She's only committed 2 errors to this point. And whenever I broadcasted 4 straight games of yours on TV about a week and a half ago, that was something that caught my eye. She was pretty smooth at third for a freshman. It turned into a nice left side of the infield for you with her and Brooke Voss. But just talk about the play of Valentine at third. I mentioned just 2 errors in 21 games.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why Angie got the opportunity to play, is early on in the season. And it just felt like we weren't as solid as I wanted to be defensively. And Angela is a little vacuum over there. She is quick. She is super reactive, and you have to be to play the hot corner with the pace of our game right now. So yeah, that's been a huge bright spot for us, is just her stepping in and taking advantage of opportunities as a true freshman. And she's doing everything we need her to do right now, especially because she is in there to lock it down at third base and to just be a super defensive bright spot. And she is executing it in all the ways that we need her to right now. And it's been fun to watch her, you know, kind of come into her own a little bit too.
When I talked to you before the season started, and I know Ziggy's talked about this as well and when previewing the softball season, but you said your goal in year one was to make the conference tournament. Now they take just the top six teams in the Valley. Well, right now you guys are sitting in fifth place. You still have a month left. Big stretch coming up here with Northern Iowa this weekend as they sit in third place. Then SIU midweek on Tuesday for doubleheader. They're in second. So what excites you most about here this final month? Because you're in year one, maybe didn't really know what to expect. You said, yeah, our goal is to make the conference tournament. Well, here you are in a good position to make the Valley tournament. What excites you most about this last month?
Just that everything we want to accomplish is in front of us. We control our own destiny. Our student athletes have done this. Like, they've put themselves in a position where we control our own destiny. We can go out and win the games we're supposed to and continue to compete at a high level, and we're going to find ourselves in. But that's where you want to be, you know, and that's what we've talked about with the team is we don't want to look up in 3 weeks and say, okay, well, we need so-and-so to lose and we need them to win the series and we need that person. If we control what we can control and win the series, we need to win and compete. And, you know, one of our goals is to get to 15 conference wins. Mm-hmm. So we're halfway through. We're at 8, which puts us in a great position, but we've got to keep showing up as our greatest selves. We've got to keep showing up and competing at a really high level. But my favorite part is that we control our own destiny and that we are in control of what happens to us instead of leaving it in someone else's hands. And that's been the goal all along, is just to control what we can.
I know you said it's been a blur. Get this first 365 out of the way, head into year two. But, you know, as you maybe look at this first season, take a deep breath and reflect so far, what's kind of been your favorite part about this whole experience?
Oh, I'm not allowed to reflect yet. We still have some goals to accomplish. And like I said, we're relentless in our pursuit to find ourselves in Carbondale in May and be in the conference tournament. You know, so I'm trying really hard because, and the reason I try so hard not to start reflecting too early is because there are 9 kids on this roster that I'm trying to love as much as I can, as long as I can. And I don't want to be done coaching them. I don't want this season, you know, to be anything less than what it should be. And so it's that fine line, you know, you fight yourself because you're like, well, look where we're at. And it's like, no. I still have 5 weeks left with the Taylor Howes and the Wilsies and the Sid Colonahayas and all in the L, like I could name them all. But I still have 4 or 5 weeks left with them, and I enjoy getting up every morning. I enjoy coming to work with them. They're ready to work. You know, they ask for more. They're like, coach, can we work on, you know, like, so I've just really thrown my arms completely around that and trying to be all in for what time we have left, because I do feel like I've gotten cheated. I wish I had more time with them already. You know, so trying not to get too much about that. I know whenever this thing ends, as far as the first year this summer, I'm just looking forward to having the opportunity to probably catch my breath for the first time, because it has been a blur. But yeah, it's just like 1 week at a time right now. Like, we've got to grind through this. I mean, what we're looking forward to right now is we have 5 games and then we have a bye weekend and an opportunity to really take care of some bodies and get us in a good place and really catch up from that perspective with our bye weekend coming up. And then we'll have that grind of 9 conference games left and go do what we can. So trying not to be too caught up, you know, in those situations or in that thought process, because like I said, I just want to take advantage and to really be all in on every moment that I have left with this group, and then we'll look at what the summer looks like and what next year looks like once we get there. So,
well, coach, it's been fun to watch so far. Thanks for your time today, and best luck this final month.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That wraps up episode 51 of Aces on the Air. Again, Evansville softball home on Wednesday against Bellarmine, and then Northern Iowa's here on Friday and Saturday for a 3-game series. Aces sitting 8-6 in the Valley, in fifth place in the conference standings. So for head coach Bailey Dillander, I'm Jevin Rebben. This has been Aces on the Air, brought to you by Troney's and powered by Learfield.